This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hey, good morning. It's The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise walking around Cloroxing everything off. So Trevor's our Clorox guy. We appreciate that. He and Colleen. I assume Colleen gets in here before every show and Cloroxes for us. So I always appreciate that because we share the mic with Stevie and Diane in the morning. And, of course, Austin and with the Jeremy Warner Show. And then us. So here we go. We've got a good show today. Britt Miller, you remember him, former Illini fullback. He played in the NBA. I don't think he played in the NBA. He played in the NFL. I know he played with the Rams. Britt Miller's going to join us at 4:30 for no reason to just talk about fun stuff.
Perfect.
I mean, he's just one of those guys that just loves to ham it up. So I thought, Britt, would you want to join us, and we'll just talk about funny moments that you had at Illinois, maybe in the NFL. And I know he was a quarterback at Decatur Eisenhower. And keep in mind, he played, as you all know, he played linebacker for Illinois. He was a quarterback for Decatur Eisenhower and was really good.
Yeah.
And was really fast. I mean, he's an incredible athlete, and it was always fun. And the other cool story to that is his parents used to tailgate by us, and nice. The whole crew from Decatur would be there. And, of course, I used to work at WAND, so every Saturday morning I'd walk over, hello, Millers, hello, crew. Steve Smith, his former high school coach there at Eisenhower, that was always fun to visit with. We're also going to visit with Kevin Fishbane at 5:05 and ask him about the Chicago Bears. The draft is approaching. Is it a week from Thursday, right?
Yeah, first round a week from Thursday. Man. Now, as a Bears fan, we got to wait till Friday for the second round.
Yes.
Because Bears don't have a pick that Thursday night. Still really, really excited.
Yeah.
Might have to pregame the second round on Thursday and just push it all the way through.
Just pull an all-nighter Thursday. You come in Friday just wobbling. Yeah. I'm like, oh, boy, what's wrong with Derek?
Two picks in the second round, though.
I love it. That'll be fun. So two picks in the second round, of course, for a lot of us, including my Arizona Cardinals. That'll be, I think they draft 8th. So I'm anxious to see what they do. I really honestly don't know. They've re-signed a couple of offensive linemen, and of course they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. So I assume you'd want to. They need it, but they also could use another right tackle because Marcus Gilbert is only signed for 1 year. So if they can get one of the big boys, especially like, is it Tristan Wirfs? Is that his name out of Iowa? If I'm saying that correctly, there's like 4 stud tackles. And if you can get one of them, you know, the great news about when you are picking early, and believe me, I know this because my entire life, the Arizona Cardinals have selected early. When you don't need a quarterback, then it's a beautiful thing when there's quarterbacks taken because that's just something you didn't need that's coming off the board ahead of you. And there should be probably 2 or 3 quarterbacks taken before the 8th pick this year. So that could be good news for Arizona.
Yeah, at least Burrow and Tua for sure.
Yeah, those two for sure. Maybe Herbert?
Yeah, he could go in that range
maybe
as well.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. And, of course, you never know about the trade-ups to get that too. And that's the other thing. When you don't need a quarterback, you don't necessarily have to worry about somebody trading in front of you and taking the guy you wanted.
I'm ready for the live sports drama.
Oh, man. My
God. The trade-ups, the guy that slides down. There's no green room, but...
No, but it'll
sweating
be...
Sweating it from the couch.
So cool. I mean, yeah. That will be one of the most joyous evenings for guys like us that love sports. Guys and girls. When I say guys, you know, I always mix everybody in, but for people that love sports, next Thursday will be one of the more joyous moments I've ever had in my sports life. Because essentially for more than a month, I've had nothing.
I know.
And now all of a sudden, here comes the NFL draft. It was kind of cool. Last year at this time, I was down, during the draft, I was down in Nashville, Tennessee.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, it was the Jimmy Buffett concert. So we had gone to the concert, and not only was there the concert for Jimmy Buffett that night in Nashville, there was the Nashville Marathon. And then somebody, I don't know the country guy, but he was a big name, was doing a free concert that same weekend. And, oh, by the way, the NFL draft. I mean, it was incredible. And we stayed about 20 minutes away at my buddy Adam Grimes' cousin house. and we Ubered in, and they dropped us off, and we spent the entire day downtown Nashville, and it was crazy.
It's awesome.
But it was really cool. It was really cool to see. All right, we're going to Chris and Muhammad is actually going to get us going on what we want to talk about first today, and I was playing catch with Andrew, and he looks at me right when I got there. I'm like, what's up? I always call him bruh. I've got the Rex Chapman going. I'm such a geek dad. But I'm like, what's up, bruh? Yeah, exactly. And he goes, stinks to be Michigan today, doesn't it? I'm like, no doubt. We'll talk about that here in a second. But right now, Chris and Muhammad wants to chat. How are you, Chris? Chris, are you there, buddy?
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you, man?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Chris, go ahead, buddy.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
Oh, quick question. Where do you think DJ Carton and Muhammad will be heading to their other new team? Just your guess on that. Where do you think they'll head? Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Yeah, DJ Carton, Luther Muhammad, and, of course, Gaffney. There are three guys leaving Ohio State.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I don't think Illinois is on the radar of any one of those three, but I could be wrong. Derek, I'll let you talk.
Gaffney planning to go pro.
Oh.
Don't see him going to the NBA, but sounds like he just wants to go earn money and play. So similar to Khalil Whitney, where Khalil was a McDonald's All-American, but Khalil unlikely to get drafted after averaging only about 3 points and two rebounds. But Gaffney didn't see the role that he expected when he came in. Luther Muhammad is down to Seton Hall, Arizona State, UCLA, West Virginia, and New Mexico.
He's more of a defender.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more of the guy that'll help
Dwayne
you on
Washington,
the defensive
shooter.
Yeah.
And Muhammad, yeah.
I mean, good offensively, but I think he is a guy that will certainly bring a lot on the defensive end wherever he goes. And then DJ Carton is a guy that was from Iowa. He was the Iowa Player of the Year. But when I looked at who was interested in him, and it was a 24/7 thing I looked at this morning, it did not show Iowa. It showed Iowa State. It didn't show Iowa. Why is that, Derek? Do we know? Fran McCaffrey?
Yeah, well... Honestly, when he first announced the news he was stepping away from the program at Ohio State, which would have been, was it late January, early February, with the mental health issues and wasn't going to play, there was buzz that he was planning on coming closer to home and going to Iowa. Iowa City's only about an hour away from his house, so you would think, especially having the argument of I'm moving closer to home for a legitimate reason and trying to get immediately eligible. Now, there's been speculation that Iowa isn't publicly involved because maybe that original buzz put the spotlight on them for jumping the gun a little bit as far as reaching out or doing some
maybe
some
doing
recruitment.
Something wrong there. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Which I know Illinois fans would hate to see as far as Iowa doing something out of bounds recruiting wise.
Sure.
But we haven't heard much of anything about Carton recently. I assume it's because of the one-time transfer rule.
Okay.
The NCAA sitting down about that and deciding. Most thought it would happen in April, and I guess we still have half a month for that to happen. But if it gets pushed back further, maybe he doesn't have – well, he's going to have to go on the case of mental health issues to get immediately eligible. And you would think he'd have to be really close to home. But Illinois was on that immediate list of reaching out. I just don't see the fit.
Okay.
Not only with Curbelo and Trent, potentially Io.
It's interesting, you know, because it's easy to say, well, with everything going on with the pandemic now, that it'd be tough for the NCAA to make that decision. It's slowing everything down, but really it shouldn't be. I mean, more than anything, you have time on your hands right now, right? Zoom everybody at the NCAA and figure it out, you know? I was laughing, by the way, yesterday they showed, and this was taped, I think, last week, but they showed the St. Louis Blues on they call it Happy Hour, on CNBC, or not CNBC, but NBC Sports. And they had a lot of Blues players on there all on Zoom. There's like the whole thing was full of Blues players. They only talked to like four of them. So for like 30 minutes, you know, guys were just kind of sitting there going, okay. In fact, one of them was Vladdy Tarasenko. And they finally asked him a question like 25 minutes in. I'm like, really? I mean, he's one of the best players in the NHL. But it was kind of funny. Anyway, I go back to what we were talking about. I mentioned the fact that Michigan, it was a bad day for Michigan. Last night, the news came down, and you'll have to know the names. I don't. But last night, one of the top 10 recruits in the country elected to not go to Michigan and, in fact, chose Arizona State. So happy for Lucas Tay, not happy for Michigan, which I'm fine with. What has happened there? And then, of course, today, another recruit decides he's not even going to go to college. He's going to go to Europe and play professionally. So a couple of big recruits for Juwan Howard that said no, essentially.
Yeah, Michigan, up until this point, before the last 24, 48 hours, had one of the top 10 recruiting classes in the country, the top in the Big Ten. And they still have three top 100 recruits coming in, but they lost out on Josh Christopher, who's a top 10, 6'5" athletic freak scorer, is going to Arizona State. And I look at the crystal ball, it was 91% Michigan.
It's the biggest upset, isn't it?
It might be.
It's one of the top three biggest upsets. And what I mean by that is a play like Diamond Stone was on that list. In fact, it was a list Illinois wasn't on, finally. Finally, we're not on that list, Trevor.
It was the largest, technically, crystal ball upset of all time.
Wow.
In 24/7 sports history, in terms of the percentage of crystal ball that was one team and then went to the other. I think the two below it were DeAndre Ayton, which was 80% Kansas and 0% Arizona.
Wow.
And he flipped to Arizona.
Huh, and I wonder why there.
Yeah, things that make you go, hmm.
Correct.
Bobby Hurley doing some work.
I'm not implicating that necessarily with Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was Zion.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Remember, Zion was like, I think it was like Clemson? 75% Clemson.
Yeah.
Duke was like 15% and he picked Duke.
Interesting. Yeah, and Diamond Stone, I mean, was a guy that was from Wisconsin, so a lot of people thought he would go and play with the Badgers, but instead went to Maryland, and I remember the game. He played one game at Wisconsin, and it was ugly. I mean, it was not the...
I don't really think he was ever that good in college, was he?
Well, he had a pretty good game, I think, that night against the Badgers.
I don't remember.
I think they did. In fact, I think Maryland may have won that game, and Diamond Stone was really good, and I know the Wisconsin faithful weren't very happy, but... So, are you telling me that Juwan Howard had five recruits inside the top 100?
He had four, and it would have been a fifth with Christopher. It would have been his second five-star. Did not get Christopher, and then lost the other five-star, Isaiah Todd, who was their prized get in the class, decides that he's going to play professional overseas.
That's so, like a Cliff Alexander, Quentin Snyder level bad day for Michigan.
And here's what I don't get. I mean, Juwan Howard has coached 1 year in college and had a team that was maybe, you know, was going to make the NCAA tournament, but probably, I think, a lower seed than Illinois. Do we remember? I mean, it was going to be close.
Should have been.
Yeah, should have been. He's been there 1 year. It's not like, I mean, I know Michigan's been on a nice run here the last decade, but they haven't won a national title.
They've been to two, though.
They have been to two. That's true. I guess that is true. That'll shut me up. But it's amazing that, so in 1 year, Juwan Howard's able to wrangle in four top 100 recruits. Of course, one of them decides to go pro, and then a fifth could have been that now goes to Arizona State. I just, recruiting.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, he's a name. He's obviously someone that, assistant for the Miami Heat, so that's going to carry a lot of weight with recruits as far as knowing what it takes to get guys to the NBA. And then he has a couple of sons, and his, not the Phoenix Suns, actual sons. One's a sophomore who's one of the top players in the country.
Oh, nice.
So I think that, and there's been talk about, is he going to get Bronny James, although Bronny James probably doesn't even need to play in college by the time that those rules come through. But for Michigan, big loss. They're losing Teske up front. Colin Castleton, who hasn't done much in college, is transferring. And then Isaiah Todd was thought to slot in and probably would have had played a key role in Colin's decision to leave when you have a five-star freshman coming into your position. So they're also losing Xavier Simpson.
Wow, that's right. And I saw somebody today, it was a national writer, I think, that said, well, this loss of Michigan to the kid that went to Arizona State, not maybe as big as you think it is for Michigan, because now they can play Isaiah Livers at the four and go small. And I'm like, really? You lose a top 10 recruit in the country, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I feel like that's somebody that was trying to make it seem like, it wasn't that bad.
I mean, they still have some pieces. They still have Eli Brooks, who can shoot the three, and Livers is a very good player. But as far as slotting Livers into a different spot, sure, that's true. But having Livers and the other guys you already have, in addition to one of the top players in the country, that's
huge. If you want
loss.
The rest of the top 10, I have it here. Just for
and, of
for
course,
fun.
They're losing to Julius as well, who is in the portal. He was supposed to announce, I think, or he's supposed to announce pretty quick here. Missouri's one of the teams on his radar. So that is something. They've got Wagner back, right? The younger Wagner will be back this year. All right.
Like saying, and this is probably a poor comp as far as Tracy Abrams and Isaiah Livers, but you miss on Jalen Brunson. Well, we can slot Tracy Abrams in at the point guard.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, Isaiah Livers is a better player than Tracy, but still, you're right. I mean, when I read the tweet, I just kind of laughed.
It's just the defensive attitude.
I guess. Yeah, big time.
So this is the top 10 in terms of the lowest percentage of crystal ball picks in ratio to the runner-ups percentage. So in other words, Josh Christopher had a 9% to Arizona State crystal ball projection and a 91% Michigan. That difference of 82% was the largest ever.
Wonder how much, you know, you got to pay at Arizona State for that make up 91%. I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's my fault.
Probably
that was very
thou,
unprofessional.
A few thou per percent. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, right behind that is Zion Williamson.
If Lucas's tuition goes up on it, you know, next year, I'm going to be like, hold on a second.
Are you a booster? Is that what you're telling us right now?
No, I can't afford that.
Maybe he was just thinking to himself, if I got to be quarantined, if say it cycles back and I'm going to be quarantined somewhere, I want to be quarantined in Tempe versus Ann Arbor. Hey,
well, I've been to both.
I have too.
And you have too, and I'm going to Tempe.
Heady play. Second all-time is Zion, who had 5% of his crystal ball predictions to Duke and 95% to Clemson.
Wow, even bigger payday there to make up 95%.
There must have been less people predicting that, which is why it was second.
Right.
But just think, 95% crystal ball predictions that Zion was going to end up at Clemson.
Why was he going to Clemson? Is he from South Carolina? Okay.
Yeah. That might not be the only reason either. Jamal Murray, 89% was to Oregon. 11% to Kentucky.
Wow.
That was back in 2015, and he ended up picking Kentucky. DeAndre Ayton was a 0%. Nobody had him going to Arizona. 92% had him going to Kansas. And then suddenly, lo and behold, he commits to Arizona.
I think we know that one. Yeah.
Diamond Stone.
Yep.
80% to Wisconsin. 20% to Maryland. Commits to Maryland. RJ Hampton, that one was a little different, too, because it was 80% to Kansas, and he went overseas.
Oh, okay.
So that's not really the same thing.
That makes a little difference, you know, they're going to get paid.
Let's see. Ben Simmons was 67% Duke, 33% LSU.
Hmm.
So a little bit of a smaller margin.
Will Wade.
Going
Will Wade doing some work.
Andrew Wiggins was 84% to Florida State.
Really?
16% to Kansas back in 2013 and committed to Kansas.
Hmm. Good work, Bill.
Jaylen Brown was 80% to Michigan and 20% to Cal when Konzo was at Cal.
Oh, boy.
Cal.
Boy, Michigan's gotten robbed a couple times.
I'm sensing a theme on this list if you look at coaches. And then finally, Mo Bamba was a 80% prediction to Kentucky but went to Texas.
Hmm.
So just to recap that
list. Would that have been Shaka?
It's Bobby Hurley, John Calipari. I'm listing the coaches that pulled these kids in.
Okay.
Mike Krzyzewski, Sean Miller, Mike Krzyzewski again. Let's see, Mark Turgeon, LSU, Will Wade,
Miller.
Sean Miller, Bill Self, Konzo Martin.
Okay. Well,
I'm not saying anything. I'm just listing the coaches.
We're not implicating anything on this. We are not. We're just mentioning what's happening. Well, it's interesting. I want to ask you before we, somebody texted and said Britt Miller was a linebacker in college. Yeah, did I not say that? He was a linebacker at Illinois, and he was a quarterback in high school, so I apologize if I said that wrong. So, Illinois, I want to ask you, because Illinois right now, and the reason I brought this up is that Michigan is still, I think, the 11th best class right now recruiting with their top three 100 commits. Illinois is actually 15th by 24/7 Sports in the country with Curbelo, Hawkins, and Adam Miller. Now, Miller hasn't signed yet. We know that.
First day to sign for him is tomorrow.
Is tomorrow. Okay. So that is something we hope to hear pretty quick here on Adam Miller. I don't know why you would wait on something like that. You've already waited long enough. Go ahead and get it done. That's just my thought.
And I'm not saying anything, but the fact that we haven't heard he's signing tomorrow, if he doesn't sign tomorrow, there's going to be people who say, oh, wait, what's going on?
Right. Well, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for saying that anymore. Because, I didn't feel 100% when he didn't sign months ago. Now, all of a sudden, if you don't have, you've waited months now, what has come into your discovery?
It'd be hard to blame people if there's a silence out of Io's camp, right, and then there's a subsequent silence out of Adam Miller's.
Right. I texted you guys today, and I said, if Io comes back and Miller doesn't come here, and I always let Derek shut up when I say these things, so Trevor, it's between you and I.
Okay.
But I said, if Io comes back, I will do jumping jacks. I will do cartwheels and be excited as I've ever been, especially if he and Kofi both come back. But I said, is Io greater than 1 year of THT and 2 years of Adam Miller? I would probably argue yes. Be close.
Yeah. I think it'd be closer than your gut reaction would be. I'll take Io all day, every day.
Absolutely.
I mean, THT was really, really freaking good.
Yeah.
At a position that Illinois needed.
And made the wrong decision after his freshman year.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, he's on the Lakers now, so.
Well, that's true. I guess.
From LeBron.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. That was dumb of me.
Adam Miller, I mean, I guess now the thing that gives me hesitation with this is just that with Alan Griffin's departure,
yeah,
I don't really think you can afford another loss.
Right.
Whereas, like, maybe if, I'm just presuming as a fan, let's say Io comes back and Adam Miller doesn't come here, you're not necessarily feeling worse because you're not losing anything from last year's team, but
true,
you're not gaining much. But now you're losing something from last year's team in Allen, and you might be losing something from this year's team if Adam Miller were to not come.
No, that's
here. You
fair.
Know what I mean?
That's fair. And that is fair. So that's something to look at. I mean, Illinois, obviously, if Kofi and Io come back with the addition of Hawkins, we assume Miller signs, and Curbelo, now you're full, right?
Yeah. There would be,
I think you'd be one over.
One open still, right?
Oh, one open, okay.
Because
you lost Allen.
You lose Allen, Tev, Kipper, and Dre.
Okay.
And you bring in Adam, Curbelo, and Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So still one open.
That's right. So if you'd still be able to maybe add a grad transfer or someone in that, or like Underwood did last year, bring in somebody that maybe can't play immediately, but maybe has two to play, et cetera, down the road.
Do you find it strange that Io's said nothing yet? Because if you look at the list of guys that
have
at least announced that they're throwing their hat in the ring, just not signing with an agent, but just they're going to put their name in the draft just to see what happens, I feel like it's got to be 80 to 90% of the kids that are going to be in this draft.
Yeah, I honestly do.
We should talk about this more because, you know, it's our topic.
Yes, it is.
This is our topic of the show.
This is Will Cain's Dak Prescott topic.
Io has a week and a half.
Okay.
To say he's at least going to declare. If he does not at that point, then he's coming back.
Okay. So the targeted dates, tomorrow Adam Miller can sign, and in a week and a half, Io has to declare.
What if we hear nothing up until the day of, and we're sitting here at 4 p.m., the last day he has to say something, and we've heard nothing?
We're like, hey, let's continue this subject right here.
If I steal his phone and break it and it passes midnight, is there any possible
that's
way
fine.
He can announce?
That's fine. That's a good idea. I don't know how that'd be. I think it'd be stealing, right? You just mentioned that.
You know what? I'll sit in the drunk tank for 24 hours for a petty stealing
crime
if I have to.
I'll bail you out.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
A lot of Illini fans would bail you out. All right, how about at 5:30 we continue maybe this discussion? We may do a little more war wagering. That was always fun that we did yesterday. When we come back, Brent Miller, former Illini linebacker. Maybe that's where I said. I said former Illini fullback accidentally.
No, this is my problem. When I was typing, I have my gloves on.
Oh!
I hit FB instead of LB.
I don't think I would have said fullback even if I would have said
it. But I wrote fullback on the sheet.
Yeah, you did.
Instead of LB, I said FB.
I think he would have been a good fullback. He was an NFL fullback with the Rams, I believe. So we'll talk to Brent Miller from Decatur. We'll just have some fun with Brent next. And then Kevin Fishbane, 505. What are the Bears going to do in the draft? We'll talk to Kevin about that at 5:05. We're back. It's a drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
If you're a pro, Lowe's knows your job hasn't stopped. We're here to help with the supplies you need to make repairs and keep people's homes running smoothly at this important time. From our convenient curbside loading to job site delivery to savings on the products you need most, our focus is to help keep your business moving forward. Lowe's is open, and we're pro ready.
There will be parties again soon, and family gatherings. There'll be parades and sporting events and concerts to help our communities when they come back together respond to the 2020 census now. Spend a few minutes online today to impact the next 10 years of healthcare, infrastructure, and education. Respond online today to make America's tomorrow brighter. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now offering great deals online to all of Illini Nation. Introducing their biggest online sale ever. T-shirts starting at just $15, crewnecks starting at $20, and hoodies starting at $25. Hundreds of other items are 20% off with free shipping on orders of just $50 or more. You won't want to miss out on these amazing deals. Head to GameDaySpirit.com/sale today. That's GameDaySpirit.com/sale.
One in four batteries in America needs changed. Is that yours? There's only one way to tell. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Madison, and they will get you tested. No appointment needed. If your battery is over 4 years old, you're in danger. Don't be left on the side of the road on your way to work or that special event. Interstate Battery is your protector from bad power. There are three ways to get in contact with them. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Madison. Head to their website at interstatebatteries.com or give them a call at 217-355-4855.
You've heard their name, but who are they? Area-Wide Technologies is a full-service business solutions provider. What does that mean? Area-Wide makes it their mission to provide the perfect custom solution designed to meet your business needs. They can help you operate your IT department with confidence and excellence. Let their certified security professionals show you where your network is vulnerable, including their support in helping you transition from Windows 7, give them a call 217-359-8041 or email them at info@areawidetech.com.
So you're stuck at home and want to do some painting. Well, with their supply of both Benjamin Moore and PPG paints, Nix Paints is the area's premier painting supply store. You can view the products at BenjaminMoore.com. Once you've picked it out, call Nick 356-5711. You can also email your order to NixPaints@gmail.com. Nick will deliver it to your doorstep for free without getting near you. They're open at John and Randolph, but you don't have to come in. Visit NixPaints.com for more information, and let's go paint something.
You have to be tough to be the world's number one selling farm tractor. So Mahindra tractors have a heavy-duty steel frame, and you can get heavy-duty savings at our spring sales event. Save thousands on Mahindra, the official tractor of tough.
Come see us at Awesome Machine Sales and Rental in Savoy and Tuscola. 0% financing is available. Service parts in-house. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Simply awesome.
2018 data, including all Mahindra Group brand sales.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Oh, yeah! It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. Derek Piper to my left. Trevor Belice in his normal spot with gloves on. And not the surgical gloves that maybe you'd wear to be safe. He actually has ski gloves on. That's what Trevor does. But they have like fingers or something.
I've told you this several times. You need to stop making fun of my gloves.
I know. I need to make
I'm wearing them because they have the fingerprint skin or whatever on them. That makes it sound weird. They don't have actual human skin on them.
Being irresponsible as I am, I had to run and get one item last night at Meijer. And I walked in and I was the only person in the entire store without a mask. And so I started thinking to myself, so am I safe? Because, I mean, everybody else has got a mask on. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, technically, if everyone in the world had corona but you didn't, and then they were all now immune to it, you probably couldn't catch it, right?
Yeah, right, I think. I don't know. I don't want to get into that. That's something, thankfully,
It's a different show.
That is a different show, amen. All right, it is time again. Kevin Fishbane at 505 Talk Bears and who they're going to draft. Right now, chance to talk to Britt Miller, former Illini fullback. Linebacker. Now I caught myself saying
you're
it.
You're welcome.
And thank you for putting that down. And, of course, fullback in the NFL. Britt, how are you, buddy?
Man, doing good. Just, you know, trying to weather this storm best we can and, you know, ready to get back to some sports. I mean, we got a lot of time off. I got four little kids, and all of them are pretty active in sports, and it just seems like, you know, you don't really realize how much time you spend doing the things that you love until they're taken from you. And it's just, you know, trying to keep them busy and doing a lot of fishing, a lot of family time. Yeah. So it's good, but life with sports is better.
Yeah, isn't it amazing, Britt? You know, obviously I've got a son in college and a son that would now play pony baseball this season or this summer, and Derek and I were talking about that, and Derek has no kids yet, but he was like, I can't imagine kids going an entire summer without playing even baseball. I know you were more football, but I'm sure your kids play baseball. I mean, just as a father or a parent in general, just not being able to have your kids go out and do what all of us have done our entire life is so strange.
Big time, you know, and not toot my own horn, but since I know you guys, I played a lot of baseball. You know, I grew up, that was going to be my sport. I was fast enough, big enough, faster than most baseball players, minus my college roommate, Kyle Hudson. Got to give him some love, because I talked to him last week and congratulated him on his new job opportunity as outfield coach in the bigs. And baseball, man, I mean, it's something, I mean, it's ingrained in you in summertime. Yep. I mean, if you're not getting dirty and playing tournaments, I mean, what else are you doing?
Amen.
And I got a daughter playing some soccer, and it's just all that stuff's getting shut down. So just, it's odd, man. It's odd. You've been around a little longer than me, so.
Yeah, it is odd. Britt Miller, that doesn't surprise me at all that you were a stud baseball player. I mean, I was saying before the show, I'm sure most Illinois fans know this, but you were a quarterback in high school and skilled like crazy under Steve Smith over at Eisenhower. All right, I want to ask you, Britt, the reason we're having you on is one day, is a while ago, I saw a tweet, and here was the quote. It was something similar to this from Britt Miller. Quote, I knocked a cat out on a kickoff return against Michigan, and I'm like, we need stories like that on the drive. So, Britt, that's why we're having you on, man, just to have some fun, because not only are you versed in football so well at Illinois and also the NFL, but I'm sure there's stories galore. Let's start with that one. So you knocked a cat out on a kickoff return, and he was from Michigan. Even better.
Oh yeah, it wasn't my guy. It wasn't that friendly fire stuff. But that year the kickoff return team was electric. I mean, we had really spin back there, Vontae Davis. Ooh. I mean, if they were goofy enough to kick it short, then they kick it to Martez Wilson or Joe Morgan, who had a long career in the NFL.
Yeah.
As a return man and just basically a wild man. But all those guys are sub, 4-4 guys, and then there's all of us guys like myself, Russ Weil, Rakeem Smith. I mean, we were the guys either setting the wedge or taking on cross blocks. And so we wanted everyone to know that was lawless country. We're not worried about penalties. We're not worried about anything. This was right before the era of hitting people in the head, being illegal. And we were taking those shots, And so we were really excited against Michigan. It didn't turn out the way that we wanted to. Michigan and Iowa that year, I would never root for them anyway, but there's reasons I root against them now. And as that Rose Bowl season and, not having a Big Ten championship ring, basically, if we'd have beat Iowa or Michigan, we'd have had it wrapped up. Mm. So, a lot of emotion on the line. We knew we were pretty good that year, but the opening kickoff and the odd reason, college kids get so excited, or just anybody, it was the first time we ever played with the overhead camera.
Oh, nice.
So we knew we'd made the big time, Like, we got overhead camera, we got ESPN, we're finally, one of those guys that are going to get some highlights on that night after the game. I mean, typically you get a box score and say if we won or lost, and, we're just trying to gain some respect. And but the overhead camera, everybody's aware. We're all talking about all week, hey, man, if you get a big sack, are you going to celebrate and look up? You got to style out there,
I love it.
And so we get going, opening kickoff, and, that's when the bullets are flying. We want to set the tone. And sure enough, I have a guy running down, just full steam. And I always drew, one of the two top, one or two of the top tacklers on their kickoff coverage teams, because they knew I was going to get the job done. And I was crafty. That's also why I was able to have such a long NFL career.
Yep.
For a special teamer, realistically, because I was able to figure people out and get angles and those sorts of things. But this guy was running down full steam, never slowed down, never varied, never changed tempo, never changed direction. So I'm like, this guy's sitting dead. I'm just going to lay him out. And sure enough, so kickoff goes up. They kick it to Vontae, which is always a risky situation. And I get a cross block, so my guy's across the field, probably, you know, 30 yards. He thinks he has a free run to the returner. And I meet him right before the wedge and just totally destroy him. I mean, he probably, if he doesn't remember me, it's because he had a concussion and he don't remember anything about that day.
I love it.
And so, you know, I lay him out. But what I remember is I was watching the TV edit and, you know, you get up and celebrate with your boys. And the overhead camera was going right over us at the same time I just knocked this cat out.
Ooh.
And so when that happens, the announcer says, oh, my God, somebody got destroyed. Like, on the opening kickoff versus Michigan, like, there's no better time to hear that, you know.
Boom.
And so just one of those things, like, you know, special teams are so important. And, you know, and me coaching now and even playing back then, like, that's one of the things I always respect Zook for, was just instilling in us that that's the only play that, you know, averages 40 yards one way or another.
Hmm.
So if you were going to do that on offense, you know, you'd put all your effort into that play because you knew you had a big play going. You know, that's kind of how we went about our special teams. And we had some boy dogs out there. There was not a lot of safe people on the other teams when we were playing special teams that year.
Great story.
A lot of great games to hit on from that season in 2007, the Penn State game at home, Wisconsin at Ohio State. But when you hear stories about some of those special teams, you hear it in basketball, I'm sure it's in football too, some of the most intense moments are when you're going against each other. Did you have any ones against ones, you know, on one side, Vontae, UJ, Martez, on the other, Juice, Mendenhall, Aurelius? Any training camp stories that come to mind?
Oh, yeah. Well, so a couple, really. So every Tuesday was the only time all season was Tuesdays that the one offense would go against one defense. You know, so the number ones would go against each other. And they only did it in 9-on-7 drill, which in the defensive world, that's like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, all we know they're going to run. We know they're going to run inside. We know we're going to get downhill and get nasty. And so 9-on-7, I mean, it's getting, you know, later in the year. And we come out, we do 9-on-7, you know, skirmish breaks out. So instead of following the normal practice, we go into one-on-one pass sets. So as a fullback, like, I know that sucked a lot because it's hard to win in that much space, you know, at my time in the NFL, because that's one of the main things they judge you on is can you pick up protection and a blitz, you know, as a running back. I mean, I tell these young guys, hey, you got to be able to do that. If not, you can't go to the next level. The quarterbacks are a premium. You got to keep them upright. And if you can't block in space, you can't play. And so I was on the linebacker side at this time, and I was going against my roommate, Russ Weil, who's a two-time state champ wrestler, a general, like, hey, if you were in a dark alley, you'd want him with you.
Yes.
And you knew you were making it out unscathed kind of a guy. And so he sets on a pass set, and they just wanted to create more of a one-on-one, me-against-you environment instead of us just teeing off on them on 9-on-7. And, of course, nobody could hit Richard, so that was always – they always looked good there. But all of us underlings, that were, not as good as Richard Mendenhall, which nobody was, would have to duke it out. So I set up, and basically they said, hey, no bull rushes. So we couldn't run right down the center of the guy. I don't think that's a great way to blitz anyway. So
right.
You have to attack edges, all this stuff. And so I give a little shimmy move, and Russ kind of sets on me. And then so I just take his face mask and go right through it, put him on his back, which is a rarity for a guy like Russ Weil. And once again, skirmish breaks out. And I just remember everyone kind of dogpiling up, and I snuck out like an old cartoon, and I was standing there watching everybody fight, and I was the guy that caused it. You know, it was awesome.
That's Britt Miller, our guest. This is awesome stuff. I can see that. Now, were you did you talk some smack, or who was on that?
Yeah.
I assume, you know,
I'm from Eisenhower, man.
Yeah,
that's kind of ingrained in us, and you know the position that I played, and you know where I played, and the guys I grew up with, I mean, that's just the normal language once you put strap on the pad. So it does – the smack talking gets a lot better in the NFL.
Oh.
But college is just – and mostly because it's just more inappropriate. But, you know, college is still – you're still kind of finding yourself. Funny guys are funny to listen and talk smack to. You know, the guys that were LeSean McCoy and I forget who the other guy was. We're talking about when Vontae, you know, retired. You know, that's just the normal chatter. Because they're our friends, we can make fun of them. You know, so. But, yeah, it was the level definitely gets kicked up in college because they set you a little more free and the refs kind of let you go a little bit more. So, but it makes the game a little more interesting, in my opinion.
I agree. Now that I'm old, Brett, I'm going to throw a question out that I want to get to later, and that'll help you and Derek remind me. But I want to ask, did you ever get abused so bad in the NFL and they were talking to you? But hold on, before that, did you ever have much communication with an opposing coach in college? I think we lost Brett. That or he's really thinking hard about this question. Let's try him again. We'll try Brett again. In fact, we're going to take a quick break. I want to ask him if they ever talked to other coaches. The other thing I want to ask him is in that Ohio State game when Illinois had the ball and Juice kept doing what he was doing, what were those guys talking about on the sidelines, the defense? That's got to be a cool thing. So quick break, back with Brett Miller. The Drive.
Did you have that coming up, Seth, that you were helpful or you saw your parents?
Growing up, my dad was a mailman. My mom was a nurse.
Helping people.
Yeah.
Same theme.
So, you know, we had a good family life. Have an older sister, older brother. We all got along pretty good growing up. So kind of going back to when I was around 18, 19 years old, I first got kind of intrigued in emergency services. Actually, I was living in Mahomet. I'd heard that they had ambulance service based out of the Corn Belt Fire Department up there. So I was trying to figure out ways to get involved in EMS work at the time. So I actually went up there, knocked on the door. Shout out to my buddy Jimmy Zindars because he was a paramedic that was working that day. Got in a conversation with him. He says to me, hey, we're, you know, accepting volunteers here at the fire department. Didn't really think about that at the time, but put my name in the hat and got put on the fire department there. Did about 6 or 7 years there. Worked for Aero Ambulance.
Sergeant Seth Herrig, Champaign County Sheriff's Department. You are our honored person of the month.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What do you get from Dogtown Heating and Air? 24/7 emergency care. It breaks, they're there. Period. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What do you get from Dogtown Heating and Air? Professional technicians to take care of your problem right the first time with satisfaction 100% guaranteed. Serving all of Central Illinois. Call Dogtown Heating and Air 217-841-4728 or visit them online dogtownheatingandair.com.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. That was a little bit of an issue on our end. We apologize, Britt. He's back, Britt Miller. Of course, the pride of Decatur, former Illinois linebacker, played fullback in the NFL on a ton of special teams. All right, Britt, I had asked you, was there ever any communication with another coach in college? I don't mean anything bad, but I mean, did you talk much to the other college coaches?
You know, it was a mixed bag. The good experiences I had, you know, meeting Joe Paterno on the field. I had the luxury of, I mean, just like, it's just a complete honor to play at their stadium during a whiteout game. So I was actually able to play in two of those. One of the coolest moments I ever had, you know, Joe Paterno shaking your hand after a game. And, you know, just it's incredible. And then, you know, the other side of that story is then you got guys like Brett Bielema and Lloyd Carr that are complete, you know, buttheads, and it's like those are the guys you just want to run over on the sideline if you ever had a chance. And you know, if people could make that happen a little more easily, it'd been awesome. But you know, so then, you know, Joe Paterno after the game, class act, you know, win or lose, he was the man. And then, like, you know, Lloyd Carr and Brett Bielema, to just not guys that I've really liked our interactions. And even, you know, on media day, you know, kind of had some issues, right, like going up and down the elevator with these guys. So it's like, you know, hey, we're all here to do the same thing, and it's just compete and win.
That's too bad to hear.
Britt, got to ask you about the Ohio State game. Going to Columbus, yes, against number one Ohio State. Everybody knows the story. But just the late game moments where it seemed like it was third and short after third and short, and Juice is getting across the line, moving the sticks, and time is ticking down. What do you remember about late in that game? What's the defense doing as you're watching that? And you guys have any fun when you got back to campus that night or anything?
Hey, we were the defense was praying. Because we just got to a point where, you know, we kind of, you know, shot our gun. I mean, we were made the stops that we needed to make. You know, they made some mistakes and gave us some easy touchdowns. And, you know, it was just one of those games where all the right things happened that catapulted us where we needed to be. And the more I'm around football, you know, those things happen. But, you know, to get back to your question, whenever coach said, like, they burned the timeout, we knew we were going for it. I mean, we had Juice at the time. A lot of people didn't know it, but he's about 270 pounds. I mean, right. That's when he was able to lift as, you know, the athlete that he was. And so they never shut him down really at that point in the year. So I remember Juice being, you know, as big as some of our DNs at the time. I was like, all we got to do is get a yard, give it to the DN that plays quarterback for us.
Right.
You know, and once they did that, and we knew our zone read scheme really kind of had it confused, and that's all credit to Mike Locksley. You know, the new head coach over there at Maryland. I mean, he had them on their heels all game. And I'm glad we saved the plays that we did for that time of the year, that time of the game. But, you know, I never heard 100,000 people that quiet, let's put it that way. Once the game was over, you know, I ran up, hugged my mom and dad, and the party began. Because there was 2 years before that, you know, we got whooped pretty good. And playing against Troy Smith and, you know, playing in their facility. I mean, it's bad when they ask you, why'd you bring the soccer team, you know, to the football game? And which I thought was hilarious, but, you know, just let them know that. But,
awesome.
Yeah, then we get home, and one of the coolest things I've ever been involved with as an athlete is the president at the time of the U of I, of all campuses, not just Champaign-Urbana, but over the whole thing, is actually jumping on the bus, passing out Mad Dog 2020, which most of us had never tried because it was awful. And they just took us straight from the airport, which a lot of people were there, and it was awesome to celebrate with them. They just took us right down to Cam's and just let us off the bus.
Yes!
Yeah. And it was just one of those things, man. It was like one of those surreal moments where, you know, you finally accomplished a goal that you guys, you know, you could only do together.
Amen.
And everybody knew that, you know. And so waking up that next day was a ton of fun. Getting back to work was a ton of fun because, you know, we knew that we were doing what we were capable of doing and not losing close games like we had been, you know, the year before. And, you know, probably need to, you know, meet at a local establishment when they open back up and I can give you the full version of that story.
Oh, man.
But it was a lot of fun.
Incredible stuff. Britt Miller, former Illini linebacker, of course, and NFL. Okay, I got to ask you, by the way, Mad Dog 2020, that got us through a few parties at Southern back in the 90s. And let me tell you, somebody put a meme out the other day about Mad Dog 2020 is back crashing the world right now because that stuff is purple, red, orange, and it comes up purple, red, or orange. I can promise you that. All right, so I want to ask you, NFL, did you ever get abused one time to where, you know, somebody just really made you know, a mockery of you and then just talked some smack to you?
Well, it's, yeah. and I was 50-50, though. In my defense, I was 50-50 against this man. And I don't call many people, like, just, you know, have just a ton of respect for other athletes because I would love to just compete against everybody and see what they're about, you know?
Right.
But DeMarcus Ware.
Oh.
So, actually, I have two.
Oh.
DeMarcus Ware and then Vince Wolfork. But, so the quick one is Vince Wolfork. I got set up by Josh McDaniels. I didn't know that I got set up at the time, but we were running like a little cross-block scheme with as a fullback, so they're going to let Vince go through, and then I was going to just seal Vince, and then Stevens, you know, runs off my butt there, and a little trap dive kind of wham play. And so first play of the game, and I'm all juiced up, ready to go, and I'm like, I'm gonna just take off Vince Wolfhard's head. And I'm the biggest idiot in the world for thinking that, because that's not how it went down at all. So he's a vet, you know, we slip block him, so he goes through, he immediately gets eyes on me. I'm about a yard away.
Oh.
And I'm going as fast as I can go in a 5-yard sprint coming down the line. And all he does is put his near foot down, and I just crumbled. And I think he even made the tackle on Steven. And I run to the sideline, and all Josh McDaniels was doing was laughing at me. That's my offensive coordinator at the time, who had, you know, he knew Vince. He knew whatever, you know, he was capable of. And so I knew he set me up after that. And but, you know, just to just be totally just, you know, as an NFL athlete, you think you're at the top of your game. You do everything you can to get ready. And then you just get totally demolished whenever, all because you didn't, you know, have enough weight behind you or ability, basically. To but Vince Wilfork, I mean, he's about 340 pounds in all of its lower body.
Yes.
So I learned that position blocking was a skill that day. And so that was a lot of fun, and I'll never forget that moment. And you know, the fact that he always wears like suspender or overalls with no shirt underneath it makes him an even better man. But DeMarcus Ware, I have no idea what Coach was thinking, but we had two slide protections where if DeMarcus Ware was on the left, our the strength was set to the right, and our slide would always go to the strength, and then I would take the end man on the line of scrimmage. Well, that always happened to be DeMarcus Ware in this set.
Ooh.
And we had one shot play called, which is, you know, call it and haul it. They call it in the huddle. Everybody kind of gets juiced up because we know we're taking a shot at the end zone. Everybody knows they got to hold their block. So I come across. I set on DeMarcus Ware. I get my face mask right in his chest. And I'm like, and then I sit my butt down. And, you know, we just kind of tussle. And, hey, we get the playoff. Nothing great comes out of it other than I don't give up a sack to DeMarcus Ware.
Boom.
So I'm all pumped up. I'm like, I got this fool. Like, he's huge, but he ain't nothing, you know. All the things you have to tell yourself to just get pumped up to hit men that are that big. And so the next time comes around, same set, same slide protection, different route combination. DeMarcus Ware sees me coming, and so I'm like, I'm going to cut him at the waist. You know, you don't cut at the knees because
right.
these guys are so athletic, they just step right over you. And so you got to come a little higher, and the stuff you learn as you go. But, you know, we're in Dallas Stadium, and I come across, and he sees me, you know, gets eyes on. I'm trying to take away his inside. I launched, and all he does as a 6'7" guy or whatever he is just steps over me. I don't even make contact. So there's no worse feeling than when you whiff, because now you're looking back and you're seeing your $75 million man running for his wife, you know. And so I whiff. Sam Bradford sees it, throws it immediately into the ground. And, I get cussed out on the sideline, whatever, but at least it didn't cost Sam his life,
I guess,
is the moral of that story. But, yeah, and then, you know, every time after that, he's like, hey, 49, better not come this way.
Oh.
Like, DeMarcus, like, you have millions and millions of dollars. Like, you don't need to talk crap to me, man. I'm just here to enjoy the day, you know.
Exactly.
And, but, yeah, they were pretty ruthless. But, you know, most of the time I would wear guys down. You know, Brandon Spikes being one of the bigger linebackers in the country in the NFL, we got to a point where all we did was run lead at him because we knew he couldn't move side to side. So me being about 260 at the time and Brandon Spikes being about 270, it was a lot of hitting and hitting and hitting, but I would get to take breaks because I'd come out personnel, you know, base-wise.
Sure.
He looked at me. We were in London playing against him and playing against the Patriots, and he looked at me, he said, man, you're just too big to be doing this. And I was like, that's like a great compliment. You know, hit the guy in the face for four quarters, and he finally just says, you know, uncle, I'm not going to do this anymore with you.
So that's awesome.
I outlasted him.
Oh, that's incredible. Britt Miller, we could do this all day. And I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, in the next couple of weeks, I'd love to have you back on.
That's great.
That would be.
I literally have nothing to do.
Okay.
I work, and then a lot of Zoom meetings. And,
yes.
Thinking about the good old days.
Well, it would be fun. I know you're taking a role at St. Teresa, going to help out the Bulldogs. So I'd love to talk to you about that as well, and catch up kind of with what you're doing, et cetera. But I have so many more questions that I want to ask Britt Miller, and it's just an excellent interview. Britt, please tell everybody in Decatur hi for me, my man. I miss it over there, and thank you so much.
Yeah, we miss you too. Yep, give me a shout. I'm down to – I got my blood pumping now, man. I might have to go home and do some push-ups or something.
Hey, there is on YouTube a Britt Miller workout I just found, so you'd have to do this workout.
My kids often ask me if I can still do that stuff. I'm like, I prefer not to.
Yeah. It's more of we don't want to do it anymore. Exactly. Hey, Britt Miller, thank you, sir. Great stuff.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Britt Miller. Oh, my.
So much fun.
I have to shut up from laughing. I can't. It's the most unprofessional thing you can do in this business, but I can't stop laughing when Britt's doing that stuff. All right, we got to take a break. We're right at the top of the hour. When we come back, Kevin Fishbane.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.